Well, tonight's exciting. We start a new book. That's always exciting. Something that doesn't happen very often. Hebrews. So let's go there this evening. The book of Hebrews. Go to chapter 10, if you would. Actually, go to chapter 4. We'll look at some of the key verses of Hebrews before we talk a bit about the book. But go to chapter 4, verse 14. Which says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And then go to chapter 8, verse 1. Just look at some of the key verses. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And then go to chapter 10, verse 14, our third key verse, 10:14, which says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The book of Hebrews is about Jesus, as you can see. It presents the person of Jesus Christ primarily as our high priest, which is four of the 13 chapters are all about Jesus' high priesthood, chapters 5 through 8. The first four chapters introduce Jesus Christ as God and as the greater one, greater than Moses and Joshua. Then again, chapters 5 through 8 is high priesthood. And then 9 and 10 talks about the new covenant that God has made with his people Israel. And then, of course, we know that chapter 11 is the faith chapter. And then 12 and 13 are Christian worship. So if you had to pick the most common word, it's because of chapter 11 that it's the word faith. Shows up 38 times. That's the most common word. But probably the most prominent word would be the word priest, which is 37 times. And that is the focus of Hebrews. It's written to the Hebrews primarily. Now, we can gain from it as well. But it's primarily written to prove to the Jewish Christians that Jesus Christ is not only the fulfillment of the Old Testament, but also he is the new high priest. He replaced the high priesthood from the Old Testament. He's the better priest. It's a better covenant. And so that's why priest shows up so many times in this book. So faith and priest are the two most prominent words. And this evening, we're only going to look at the first three verses here in chapter 1, which do introduce the Lord Jesus Christ and his person. So we'll start there in verse 1. Oh, by the way, the author. It's a New Testament book. I believe it's the only New Testament book that we are not sure who wrote it. All the other books, either you can use clues to prove who wrote it, or it actually says at the end who wrote it, or at the beginning. But this book, that's not the case. It's an unknown author, although a lot of people believe it was probably Paul. I'm one of them. You'll see after we go through it that the writing style and the way he says certain things are exactly the way Paul writes in his other epistles. But it's really irrelevant. It's God's word. It's given to us to introduce Jesus and talk about his person, and it's going to be a blessing, and I know we're going to love it. So verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So I'm going to entitle it, By His Son. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you use your word in our hearts and lives this evening as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may it draw us to him. Lord, may we grow in our understanding of your word and grow in our faith. And we just pray, Lord, that this time in your word would work miracles in our hearts and lives. We give it to you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as he says here in the beginning, God who at sundry times and in divers manners. By the way, that word divers the old usage of the word diverse. It amazes me sometimes how people don't take things in context. I actually heard about a guy who preached an entire message on divers, like deep sea divers. The word is diverse, okay? And what he's saying is diverse manners. So in different ways, different people, over the course of about 1,600 years, God spake unto us through men, whom we refer to as prophets. God wrote the Word of God, but He wrote it through men. Now that's explained in 2 Peter, over to the right a couple of books, 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn over there, verse 21. The Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So who wrote the Word of God? God. The Holy Ghost wrote the Word of God through men. And God is telling us at sundry times and in divers manners, three different languages, 40 different authors, 1,600 years. Wow. This book was given to us and yet it all agrees with each other. That's impossible unless it's a supernatural book, which it is. But he tells us here in this verse, or the next verse, he says that was how it was originally given to us. But he says, "Now he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." By his Son. So what we're going to see in these three verses are many of the offices or positions that Jesus Christ holds, because Jesus is everything, as we know. And we see, first of all, in verse 2, that he is a prophet. The Bible says God spoke unto us by his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet. He came to speak the Word of God, just as the Old Testament prophets spoke the Word of God. Jesus spoke the Word of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" So Jesus Christ came to introduce something new, the New Testament, the new way to heaven, which was through his sacrifice on Calvary. So the Bible says Jesus Christ is a prophet. He came to teach us the ways of the Lord. If you go to Luke 24, we'll see an example of this that happened in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples just prior to ascending to heaven. Luke chapter 24, and go down to verse 27. So this was after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." I love that verse. All the scriptures. He basically opened the eyes of these that he shared this with to show them that the Old Testament is all about him. That he's everywhere in the Bible because he is the Bible. And so Jesus Christ is a prophet. Secondly, we see verse 2. The Bible says he hath appointed him heir of all things. Jesus is not only a prophet, but Jesus is a king. As we know, the Bible says one of his names in Revelation 19 is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. He's the inheritor of everything. Why? Because he is the king of everything. He will ultimately be the ruler of everything. Now, the Bible says of Jesus Christ that he created all things, and for thy pleasure they were all created. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's also, verse 2, number 3, he's the Creator. Notice it says, "He by whom also he made the worlds." So in 2 verses, we find out he's the prophet, he's a king, and he is the creator of everything. He made the worlds. The Bible says in John 1:3, "All things were made by him, and without him is not anything made that was made." Jesus Christ is the Creator. And look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3, where the Bible tells us, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. But he starts off by talking about Jesus Christ in the beginning of the chapter and saying that the one who built the house is greater than the house, saying that Jesus created Moses. So he is a prophet, he's a king, he's a creator. And then notice in verse 3 of our passage, Hebrews 1, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is God. Down to verse 8, notice what it says. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Jesus is God. And Hebrews is going to talk a lot about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the express image. He was the human manifestation of God. Almighty God. And he's, as it says here, he is the image of God. The Bible says, in him, Colossians 2, 9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. So Jesus Christ was the bodily manifestation. Because the Bible says God is a spirit. Right? James chapter 4. They that worship him must worship in the spirit and in the truth. Sorry, John chapter 4. But the Bible says he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That God became a man, obviously to die for us and rise again for us. So he's a prophet, king, creator. He is God. And then look at verse 3. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is also the sustainer. Look at Colossians chapter 1 if you would. What does that mean? It means that, and this is something we won't completely understand until we get to heaven. Jesus holds this world and this universe together. You know, science, they just keep digging deeper and deeper and getting more powerful and powerful microscopes, looking at the atom, looking at the electrons and the protons and the neutrons. But now they're finding even smaller particles that are all mixed in these little mini universes. But they still can't figure out why it all does what it does. Why do these electrons rotate around the nucleus of an atom? Why? Why doesn't it fly apart? Well, the Bible tells us because of Jesus. Look at verse 15 in Colossians 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist means hold together. So Jesus Christ, it says, upholds all things by the word of his power. Here we're told by him all things consist. He is the sustainer. He's the one that holds this universe together. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Then in verse 3 it says, who had by himself purged our sins. Of Hebrews 1:3. By himself he purged our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Some of the key passages of this book talk about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and how it was sufficient. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's Jesus. Forever. One sacrifice for sins forever. That's Jesus. He is our Redeemer. Praise the Lord. And then lastly, in verse 3, the Bible says, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ is our high priest. The three primary offices that we're going to see emphasized in Hebrews are prophet, priest, and king. Jesus' primary offices. And Hebrews 8 talks about this. Turn over there. that Jesus Christ is our high priest. And as I shared earlier, God's going to spend four whole chapters of Hebrews talking about the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. 8 is the culmination, and that's why he says in verse 1, "Now the things which we have spoken of, this is the sum." He's saying, I'm now going to summarize the past three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. This is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. It's not talking about an earthly tabernacle. It's not about a heavenly tabernacle. And saying Jesus Christ is the high priest. And this whole chapter talks about his high priesthood. So Hebrews, as we learned, is written to emphasize the person of Jesus. That's why we're going to enjoy it so much, because it's going to lift up our Savior and encourage us about our Savior. And just in these three short verses, we find out that Jesus Christ is a prophet. Jesus Christ is a king. He is the creator. He is God. He's the sustainer. He's the redeemer and our high priest. Just in three little verses. Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's a great book. We're going to learn so much from it. But tonight we learned just a little bit more about our wonderful Savior. By His Son, God gave us His Word. God made everything. God holds it all together by His Son. Let's pray. Thank you.